NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Weilin Wong. Like a lot of people, we have been thinking about the horrific recent mass shootings that took place in the last couple of weeks in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas.
And as always, after one of these things, there is a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk about what this means for gun control from activists and experts and politicians. But you know what else talks? Money talks.
So for this Indicators of the Week, we're going to focus on that, the money. Specifically, the money flowing to gun-related stocks and the money trying to avoid them altogether.
More on that after the break.
So Adrian, to start off, let's talk about the money going into gun-related stocks.
Okay, so my indicator is 10.6%. As of taping this Friday afternoon, 10.6% is the increase in the stock price for Smith & Wesson. And we're talking about the change since the close of trading on Tuesday, which is the same day as the shooting in Uvalde. And since then, you can actually find other publicly traded firearm-related stocks that have also gone up, right? So one of them is Sturm Ruger. They're up about 6%. And there's also another company called Vista Outdoor, which owns a few different ammunition brands, including Remington. And since Tuesday afternoon, they're up about 11%.
So I feel like I've read about this sort of thing happening after mass shootings, that they are, in a sense, good for the gun business, because after a mass shooting, when there's all this talk of gun control, people will respond by buying more guns because they're maybe afraid of restrictions coming.
Yeah, and I've definitely heard this after a lot of mass shootings. And I mean, it's like that. Sounds terrible to even like say it that way. But at this point, it's almost become like a news story cliche, right? Like there's a mass shooting and gun stocks go up. But, you know, for this episode of Indicators of the Week, I decided I should probably check this out for myself. And so I looked at a few of the publicly traded gun related companies. And what I found was that in some cases, this is true, right? It happened this week after Uvalde, and it also happened in the months after the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting in 2012 and the shooting in San Bernardino in 2015. But here's the thing, like stocks are volatile, they go up and down, and depending on what time frame you're looking at, you could find examples of gun stocks where they actually fell after a mass shooting. So you can find that with the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting in 2018 and the El Paso Walmart shooting in 2019.
Yeah, there's been so many. It's just, I'm depressed that we have this much data to look at.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. And, you know, I just bring all these examples to say that, like, this idea that gun stocks go up after mass shootings doesn't seem to hold all of the time. Now, there is, I guess, a more macro trend that is also often cited as, like, being related to the price of gun stocks. And that is, who's in the White House, right? Is it a Democrat or a Republican? And I looked at this too, and what I saw was that, you know, during the Obama years, you can actually see the price for Smith & Wesson and Ruger increasing. And at a few points, the price was actually up more than 1,000%. But then, you know, when Trump is elected and taking over office, you can see those stocks either trade sideways or just plummet.
Yeah, and that might seem a bit counterintuitive or like there's something kind of funny going on. And if you look at a lot of articles that came out after the 2016 election about what happened to the share prices of these gun companies, what seemed to be happening is that during Democratic administrations, there was a surge in gun sales, perhaps motivated by worries that a Democratic president would put in stricter gun laws. And so there was this surge in gun sales leading to higher share prices for the companies. And then when a more gun-friendly Republican president came into office, those fears that had sparked all that buying kind of abated, and then the share prices normalized too, like they came back to earth, basically.
And so that is a look at the money that is going in and out of the gun stocks themselves. But Weilin, your indicator is actually about investors who are trying to avoid gun stocks altogether.
That's right. So my indicator is $1.4 billion. That is the amount held in a fund called the, okay, get ready for this, iShares ESG Aware MSCI USA Small Cap ETF.
So catchy.
It just really rolls off the tongue. And what you need to know about this fund is that it's like a mutual fund. You, as a regular investor, could invest in this fund, and this fund specifically excludes stocks of companies that make or sell firearms.
Right. So if somebody wanted to put their money in this fund, they would know for sure that none of it was going to be connected to a gun company.
That's right. And there's a little bit of a story behind this fund. The company that created it is BlackRock. You might have heard of them. They are the world's largest money manager. They command trillions of dollars. And back in 2018, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink made a big declaration. He said companies should have a social purpose, that they should make a positive contribution to society.
I believe the involvement in a community to have a purpose is vital for long-term survivability, but long-term profitability.
And I think when Larry Fink said this at the beginning of 2018, he didn't really share a lot of details, but people were excited to see what this could mean, especially one group of people, advocates for ESG investing. ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. Sometimes it's called sustainable investing. And this was an active area of investing even before Larry Fink said that companies should have a social purpose.
Right. And so some investors who are sort of adopting this ESG framework might consider non-financial factors about a company, like what is it doing to address climate change, or how much do they spend on lobbying? And some ESG investors will also wrestle with like whether to touch a company's stock at all. And in some cases, that might be a fossil fuel company or a firearm manufacturer.
Yeah. And just a month after Larry Fink made his big declaration about companies having a social purpose, 17 high school students and staff were murdered in a school shooting in Parkland, Florida. BlackRock came under scrutiny, both for owning stock in companies that make firearms and for offering investment products to customers that include these stocks. Later that year, 2018, BlackRock introduced some new funds that would not include any stocks of gun makers or gun retailers. And one of those funds was the one with the super long name we mentioned earlier. So there are options for people to keep their money out of gun companies. As for BlackRock itself, the company still has $6.5 billion invested in gun-related stocks in U.S. mutual funds and ETFs. That's according to a shareholder advocacy group called As You Sow.
Huh. So this is making me wonder, like, I mean, I have money in a company retirement account, which has money in various funds, I assume, but I could not tell you, like, what any of the individual stocks are in those funds.
Yeah, so anyone who is invested in a mutual fund or an index fund, you can always just go look at the fine print for that fund, and you should be able to look up a list of all the companies in there. And as we know, this is a really common way for people to be saving for retirement. They have their retirement money tied up in big index funds, big mutual funds, target date retirement funds. They're not picking individual stocks. They're buying into funds that reflect the broad market. Chances are you will have some exposure because that is the point of the index, to kind of take stock of the entire market. And as we've seen in this episode, these companies, they're reflected in the stock market and they're reflected in the economy.
This episode was produced by Nikki Willett and engineered by James Willits. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. Viet Le is our senior producer. Cake and Cannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.